Around the NFL Podcast. Can rock a pocket square.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, presented by the United States Marine Corps. My name is Damned Hangzus, and I'm joined in a room full of zombie heroes, Dark Sesslair, Crypt Wessling, no, Wessel Thing, and Greg Risenghoul. What's up, demons?
Hey, Dan.
Crypt Wessel Thing? Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like this kind of, you know, halfway there Halloween theme here. None of us actually dress up, but
Ricky's dressed
come up with little names.
Ryan Bartlett's dressed up behind the glass.
And obviously the studio, we've done a really nice job getting with the season here.
Look at that.
We are moving to what will be named or is named SoFi Stadium. It's on the complex where the Rams and Chargers will call home. That's happening in a little while. You get the sense that there's a bit of a give up going on around here because everyone's like, oh, we don't want to put too much work into this building at this point and the product when we got a shiny new facility that we're heading toward. Hmm. As, you know, as defeatist as that might seem.
Well, I've certainly noticed that to be true, and I don't go as often to the huddle or commissary as in days past, but what they've the trend that they've taken with the salad bar, which I've had issues with before, they have totally given up. Now, we don't even exist in this building.
They got Gronk off the wall pretty quickly outside. They put who'd they put up? Jamal Adams?
Yeah, that might not work out too much longer.
I mean, they put up Baker Mayfield, and he went into a epic slump. So
let's check in with Ricky behind the glass. What's up, Erica?
How are you guys? I had to take off my mask because I couldn't...
Show the people that watch our show, and this is live on YouTube and on NFL.com. Well, look at that.
Oh.
And there's Ryan Bartlett. Ryan Bartlett almost looks hot. Like, you know, like a sneaky look at me. I might actually
hot.
Be good looking.
Yeah, when he's covering his
and
face.
And then we have as Christy over there. She's Minnie Mouse. We got a nice team behind the glass. So happy Halloween, everybody. And this is... the Week 9 preview. Mark, you feeling better?
I am. I had one of those human days where I didn't really move until about 3 p.m. It was a very odd setback physically.
And if I recall from last year, Halloween, you hate Halloween. So
I
this
don't
is a
Halloween.
Tough day for you.
Well, wait, where are we
the
coming
kids
up with?
Kids happy, getting dressed up. Going
I'm totally on board with it. I think people go a little bit overboard on Halloween, especially adults, but I mean the kid aspect I'm
you're
happy
saying, you're saying the dad that showed up to the 8:30 a.m. Halloween party at my daughter's elementary school in full Hulkamania gear with very little clothes on was like going too far.
Is that you?
See, to me, that's fun. I'm
it is. It was
guy.
Kind of fun, but I mean, he had the tight, you know, he had the whole outfit, the whole thing at 8:30 in the morning.
And our whole state is on fire, and that's a bummer. But the one of the things I do love about Californians is that we like to have fun. People
yeah,
here like to have fun.
They do.
They enjoy the lighter things in life, and Halloween qualifies. All right, so what do we got to get into? Greg, thank you for joining us. I saw you doing a hit on NFL Network gloating about your 15-0 record last
week. I didn't say anything about it. Matt Money Smith brought it up.
And then
you were the only one, the reason it got brought up on this show.
And by the way,
that's impressive, though.
What a disgrace. And this is such a Patriots fan thing. Greg picks against the Patriots this week. He has the Ravens winning by a field goal, I believe, or a touchdown. It's a reverse jinx, obviously, first of all. And second of all, like, where do you get off? You know what's going to happen here.
I am allowed to pick with my head, which I think they are not a 16-0 team. And we'll get to that game. But I think the Ravens are a great matchup for them, and I think the Ravens can win.
Well, Wes is pounding the table,
literally.
I really
want to lock the Ravens.
Do it. Nothing's going to happen to you.
Well, we are working on a back-to-back lock sweep. We all picked the Niners last week and got the win. We picked our own teams the week before. So who knows how this will happen, whether organically we go across the board again or with separate teams.
We've had some discussions.
Yeah, have you? Okay,
yep.
Good. All right, now, let's get into it. Week 9, we have four teams on bye, the Bengals. So they sit with that 0-8 for another week. By the way, everybody's like, oh, so savage. Oh, so savage to bench Andy Dalton on his 32nd birthday. But, you know, you bench him when A.J. Green is back. Now that's savage.
I mean, I would have benched him on his 28th birthday, but that's so I feel like they've been quite kind.
Okay. Also, the Falcons, the Rams, and the Saints all on bye. So let's get into it draft style. Wes, again, this is all a process that is thought through, and it's just about, you know, realizing where you should be picking, and sometimes you get more games, sometimes you get less. Greg, just pure luck. We're going to draft 11 games. You have only two to pick. It's gonna snake to you, and then you're done. Nice for you. The rest of us have three games. Wes, get us going.
I am going with the Tony Romo, Aaron Jones matchup here. Packers and Chargers.
Wow.
Okay.
Those are the two key figures in this tilt.
A bit of a reach, but okay.
What do you mean reach?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm taking the Packers first anytime I get a chance.
Probably could have gotten on the way back maybe, though.
No way.
Probably
that would have been
though.
Gone.
No probably not. Probably not. Probably not. All right, let's talk
it's
about the game.
It's a late game. It would have been gone.
Let's talk about the game. This, to me, is, I know it's at San Diego or at L.A., but that's not a home field. Mm. I don't trust the Chargers at all.
No, the Packers fans will travel well.
Oh, my God. That place is going to be 80 to 90% Packers fans.
Sure.
Not an exaggeration.
So we get the first game of Shane Steichen's career as a play caller. There's nothing about this Chargers team that's fun or exciting to me. They won last week by default, and I don't think they haven't played well all year.
Yeah, the word that I put down watching that Bears-Chargers game from a week ago was lifeless. I just don't see a lot of what's the stamp of this Chargers team. They do some things pretty well, but they feel like, to me, a 7-win operation that should be an 11-win team.
They've underachieved. They have some great players, and I know they've had a lot of injuries, but, I mean, they have Joey Bosa, who's up there, I think, in terms of defensive players this year. You have Phillip Rivers playing pretty well.
Melvin Ingram came
back. You have
Austin
Ekeler. You have Keenan Allen. You have Damian Square showing up last week and playing. Like, I don't think this is an unwinnable game for them, but that's why the firing of Ken Whisenhunt was so strange. It's the defense that I'm much more worried about and their secondary that I don't have any faith. I think Rivers can put up some points against a Packers defense that has been rather beatable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Packers, because they surged out of the gate with a pass rush that looked dominant early on, that's kind of flittered away in recent weeks. They're not that defense right now.
Yeah, it's about first impression. Over the last month, they've been a below-average defense.
Basically, and we talked about this early in the season, a lot of offenses were trying to figure out how to play a functional football, and I think that may have played into some people thinking certain defenses were better than they really were.
They have enough talent, though, that I'm not worried about their defense. They'll be fine. I think for the most part, there's a couple difference-making defenses, good and bad, and they're certainly not in the bad category.
And they're playing the right offensive line this week, too. The Chargers' offensive line's been terrible all year.
The Packers, on the other hand, I really think that the protection, and you know, Aaron Rodgers mentioned it in every press conference to make points with his buddies, but it
to a ridiculous extent at this point.
But it's actually true, though. I think the protection he has set up everything. I mean, his mobility and his ability to move outside the pocket has set up everything he has this year. He has one of the best tackle duos in the league. He's got a good center, and they love this rookie guard, Jenkins, who's coming off maybe his best game. It's one of the best offensive lines, and if that's why wide receivers are overrated ultimately. They're replaceable. If you have a great line and a great quarterback, you're going to have a good passing game.
Well, speaking of wide receivers, Devontae Adams practiced in pads on Thursday.
Woo!
First time in about 4 weeks since that turf toe injury.
And Aaron Rodgers, one thing, because there was a lot of offseason talk, is had we already seen the best of Aaron Rodgers? And then now you look back on it, you see how well he's moving in the pocket. He moves like a 30-year-old, not a 36-year-old or whatever he is. He suffered ligament damage in his knee in week one last season and was never the same. What's so funny?
I just thought I appreciate how dismissive you were about his age. He's 36 or whatever. I like that.
Well, he could be 35 or 37, I meant.
I think he's 35. He is.
Okay. So there you go. That's why I put it whatever in there.
You will be right at some point.
Because if I just said 36,
right,
then there's a statement being made.
Sure.
Whatever opens the door up for 35 and 37.
Understood. You did a nice job with that.
Anyway, so he's moving great. And we never saw him move like this last season.
This is the week, I think, if the Chargers lose and they're going into Thursday night football, that the Phillip Rivers, is he leaving, what's going on with the Chargers conversation takes a little, you know, bigger national stage. I feel like if this is a future Hall of Famer in my mind, who they just fired as offensive coordinator, who's only played with one team his whole career, who's unsigned going into next year. If this was Eli Manning or some other team, people, this would be a bigger story.
Well, there were strange whispers about Tom Brady becoming an LA Charger next year. Do you see that?
That is strange. I'm following the Tom Brady is leaving New England thing very closely. Greg,
I'd imagine that would be something you'd be.
I haven't dismissed it out of hand because I think there's a.
I think your exact quote when I brought it up like a week ago is stop.
All the house stuff and all this. The thing that people never mention though is he would cost $17 million. Like there are huge financial reasons why that are discouraging him. The Patriots from letting him go. They would have to eat a massive cap hit for him to go somewhere next year. So it's not like they're going to cut him.
All right. Why are we talking like this conspiracy theory is a real thing?
Well, you know, we'll see what happens.
Like house, people are into the houses. Stuff.
Let's track
Maybe
it.
He'll retire.
I also, you know, that Paul Rudd vehicle, the cameo, that was a little
concerning.
All right, pick number two. This is an easy one for me. I know Patrick Mahomes is probably not playing this weekend, but still,
outside chance.
The Chiefs at Arrowhead with three losses at Arrowhead before Halloween. Who would have predicted that? Kind of need a win here. So I like the way Matt Moore played. I kind of like watching Matt Moore play a little bit. Is that weird? So you have the Chiefs, but that's not the main reason I'm picking this team, this game. I'm picking them because the Vikings, this is it, Wes. Now we're starting to get into it. Kirk Cousins, now with a 6-2 Vikings team. Everyone has now forgotten about him being the problem, and the Vikings have reaffirmed themselves as an NFC power against a top opponent on the road in a game people are paying attention to. This is the setting where Kirk Cousins folds up like a suitcase throughout his career, and does it happen again? Or is this the year where he puts that narrative to rest? Well, here's the first test right here, and I can't wait to see how he plays in this game.
Well, I know everyone wants to talk about Kirk Cousins, but this offensive line that was so maligned for the past, you know, 18 months is playing really well, and they have one of the best ground attacks in the NFL. Find a better twosome than Delvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. That 1-2 punch, I believe, is leading all running back duos in yards and touchdowns. And then Garrett Bradbury, the rookie center who we killed early in the season, is playing pretty well now. This is really – throw in the rookie class. Without this rookie class, where would they be on offense? B.C. Johnson, Irv Smith, and then Bradbury too. I think this is the rookies are really driving this offense in a way that they weren't able to do last year.
Your offensive line point, and you could say it for any position group, these things change sometimes. Sometimes you write off an entire team. Their offensive line is so bad, they'll never figure it out. But sometimes with good coaching and players getting more comfortable or some players getting healthy, these things do correct themselves, and maybe that's what's happened here in Minnesota.
I think they're the perfect team to look at September as figuring things out, not that it was their preseason, but what they do well and what they don't do well and change what they do offensively. They're really good on screens. You know, Dalvin Cook's great on screens. They have an athletic offensive line. Anyway, that's why they drafted Bradbury. That's kind of Kubiak's system. You're learning a new system. You have Kirk Cousins on the move. That's what I've really noticed is him throwing, running to his left. He's got to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league doing that. That is a tough throw, and usually you think only guys with a big arm can pull that off, and yet he's rolling out, and defenses haven't been able to stop it too well.
You're not getting that Cousins rolling to the left analysis anywhere else.
I mean, that's where you're getting a lot of those big plays.
9.3 yards per attempt for Kirk Cousins. And it is a lesson that, you know, we can cling to certain narratives early in the year, and the Cousins thing took on a life of its own. But a month later, his numbers right now are comparable to where Patrick Mahomes was a year ago on his MVP journey. I mean, I do think there was a power struggle at some point, or a come-to-Jesus moment inside that building where they decided to change the way they play offense
because something decisively changed
about a month ago.
Yeah.
You need to be flexible. Yeah. That wasn't Zimmer a year ago.
So much of it's coming off of play action.
This isn't a game that is going to tell me much, though. I don't think it's a big spot for them. It's not an easy – I'm not saying, you know, lock it up. Although, actually, this wouldn't be a bad one. But they're playing a team that's lost three straight at home. That's a below-average defense, and it's starting Matt Moore. You should beat the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are a testament to Andy Reid's coaching that they can put up a lot of points, you know, with Matt Moore, but it's still a bad defense that's banged up. I expect the Vikings.
I think they're still a good team.
I agree.
At home?
The NFL misses Mahomes. I really started thinking about how much work, like, because these last 2 weeks have had kind of, you got the Ravens Patriots this week, but in the early slates, you're kind of missing those defining games. Like, and Vikings Chiefs to me with Mahomes would be the defining game of this week before Sunday night.
Yes, the Vikings,
sad.
Even with that slump, they're third in total offense right now and fifth in total defense. So this is a team playing very well. And Wes, I know you hate when there's too much focus on Kirk Cousins. But to me, he's just one of those guys that's fun to track his career. He just got like a fun, soapy career.
Well, quarterbacks always get too much blame and too much credit, but Kirk Cousins is like the quintessential blame versus credit quarterback.
Right. All right. Let's move on to the third pick. It is, what's his name? Dark Sesslair.
Okay. Thank you for that.
I struggled with that one a little bit because the dark with a C is a no-brainer. Love it.
Right.
Sesslair, was there somewhere else you could have gone there? But then I like because then you got Dark Lair, and I feel like it kind of came together.
I mean,
together,
a layer
a
is
clunky.
Scary things live in layers.
Yeah, right.
So it's
a dark one.
That works. I think, you know, again, another nice job by you if you came up with
no,
it.
No, that's good. No, let's celebrate me. Yeah, that's good.
Did a nice job there. So it's my pick, and I like to get the late. I don't want to come have this thing circle back around, and I'm stuck with no late game because you got four of them this week. And it also is the Cleveland Browns playing the Denver Broncos. Couple things happening
okay,
here. I think
okay.
If Cleveland, I think this is a game everyone just thinks Cleveland's going to get right here and whip up on a Broncos team that has Brandon Allen, who's 27 years old and has never taken a snap in a real NFL game. Why not just run away with a 30-6 victory? I don't think it's that easy. I just don't see Cleveland to me, when you talk about what is the stamp of this team, the most undisciplined club in all of football. They completely, what happened against New England, I think when I was watching it in real time, it was just like, okay, this game's happening and it's all tumbling down. Watching it a second time, they had a chance to win that thing had they not made those mistakes. They ran the ball really well against New England. That's the one thing they can do week after week with Nick Chubb, who I thought Tony Romo made the right comparison of calling him a Jamal Lewis type runner. Yeah. But I see little miniature shades of Jim Brown at times too. He is just such a tough physical back, and he's absolutely what they need and what they should ride. I don't know if you need Kareem Hunt. I don't have a problem with him coming back
on
the roster.
In the passing game.
In the passing game, I wouldn't take any workload away from Cleveland at this point. He's all they have.
The storyline coming out of that game should have been against that defense, Baker Mayfield at one point completed 10 straight passes, and Nick Chubb was well over 100 yards on the ground. And instead, it was look at all the penalties and turnovers because they're a poorly coached team.
Right,
but that
you could be both though.
It
right?
makes
but
sense.
Both,
though.
Both,
like
both are true.
The Patriots can give up yards, and then they let they're great at letting teams lose games. Belichick says that all the time. That more NFL games are lost than won, and the Browns are a great example of that this year. They're -9 in turnovers, and they're -253 in penalty yardage differential, which I didn't even know is a stat, but that's last place by a long shot in the NFL. So those are the two things that's just killing them week after week.
I just don't believe that it's going to be, you know, magically fixable. There is a coaching issue in Cleveland, and it's hard for us to know why this happens to a team, but they weren't this undisciplined a year ago. They've had penalty issues, you know, dating back for 1,000 years, it seems like, but this is extraordinary.
You do,
but the Broncos defense, I could see them giving Cleveland
absolutely.
A ton of issues.
The Broncos defense, yes, it's a top five defense, and to the credit of Broncos fans, and shout out to the listeners who support that team, it's a great fan base that is going to fill up that building, and whether they're 6-2 or 2-6, they'll be cheering and cheering loudly. It's not an easy place to go and win. Now, you're against a quarterback that, you know, you might have another Luke Falk on your hands here, a guy that maybe doesn't even deserve to be in the NFL, and he ends up getting the start because of, and that could work out to your favor with turnovers. But yeah, win the turnover battle in this game with a quarterback with no experience and go win a ball game because this is a dirt nap game for the Browns.
It is.
They don't get this done and they fall to 2-6. They're not coming back from that.
No, they're not at all. And at this point, like the concept of them making a push for the playoffs and all this stuff is absurd. Just actually put string to some games together where you look at all like what we thought we'd see this season. But I'll tell you what, they are going to win this week, and I'm going to lock it up.
Me too.
All right.
We don't even get a sound effect for that.
There we go.
Well, Wes and I discussed this previously, and we decided that we're going to ride on the similar train either into hell or into heaven. We'll see.
Well, I'm nervous.
I'm
nervous about the Sunday night show if the Browns don't win.
I love the matchup. You know, Juwan James, the Broncos' right tackle, came back last week and immediately re-injured his knee. This tackle combination of Garrett Bowles and Elijah Wilkinson going up against Olivier Vernon and Myles Garrett, who destroyed the Patriots' offensive line last week. This is a great matchup. And Dan, who is Fred Brown?
I don't know.
The Broncos' number two receiver now.
Jesus.
Some guy named Fred Brown, not the guy who played on the 82 Georgetown team and threw the pass away.
Oh, yeah, that one.
And we've kind of skipped over the fact that Brandon Allen is their starting quarterback in Week 9. Brandon Allen, who was, I believe, a sixth-round pick of the Jags, and then he was with the Rams last year. I did ask.
He's 27.
They thought, though, the Rams had him as their backup last year.
Oh, no, they behind chose Mannion. Blake Bortles over
him. Yeah, they chose Bortles over him. That he could be a little feisty. He's done some things in the preseason. I don't think it's a Luke Fox situation. I think they're hopeful that he might, you know, have a little spark and give him a little something. But the matchup is tough and the surroundings are tough.
What's the desert saying here, Greg?
The Broncos are underdogs at home, but not by much. Not by a crazy amount.
Cortland Sutton scares me, but Denzel Ward's back. Greedy Williams is back.
Yep. Sutton's done something every week.
I think the desert
rightly looks at the Browns as a team that can't be huge favorites against any good defense on the road, no matter what's going on with Brandon Allen.
I do like that Joe Flacco unfurled that emotional speech about the offense and needing to be gutsier and more daring do shown on the field. And then he's gone. He's out. Way to go. Give it nice.
Five to six
fire
weeks.
Everyone up, then you're out.
He's going to IR.
5 to 6 weeks, he'll be out with that neck issue. And Baker Mayfield had that testy exchange with Tony Grossi, the longtime Browns beat reporter. Do you have that, Ricky?
It seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. There was something going on.
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
No, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
When the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. Do you want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus, Troney.
That's pressure. They're under a lot of pressure to win this game. And I think Mayfield will be a guy that will play really well in this game. I love the Browns in this game, but I also they've been so disappointing that I can't lock them up. But I do. I'm with you guys. I think they're going to take
Mayfield right now. His passer rating is 24.6 points lower than Eli Manning's was a year ago.
Oh.
And I think that I think you're right. He's feeling the pressure because of the expectations and everything else. I have no problem with him going off occasionally in a press conference. And I'm not just saying that because he's Cleveland's quarterback.
I think that spoke more to his relationship with Tony Grossi.
Yeah, that's been bubbling for a while.
Back and forth. I don't think it's also a very big deal that you have these reporters that you sort of – it seems like it's like a frenemy type of situation.
Hey, can I get a 150-yard game with a touchdown or two from Odell Beckham at some point?
I'm not sure.
Can we have that game?
I don't know.
Can we?
That's a great question.
Jeez, it's
not on command, you can't.
All right, up next is Greg Rosenthal.
Oh, yeah. I got two picks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Snake action, because that impacts the strategy. But I'll take the Bears-Eagles off the board. It does, because I know...
one of Greg's teams.
This is your only two picks. So.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, I want one at each time.
Yep.
So the Bears and the Eagles. I don't know why I'm picking the Bears to watch two straight weeks at 10 a.m., but I...
Because the Eagles are your team.
They are a team I'm fascinated by. I'm interested in. And you do wonder if they can rely on what they found in the second half against the Bills, which was a lot of running behind the right side of the offensive line. Brandon Brooks, throw him in your comeback player of the year conversation.
Oh, yeah.
He tore his Achilles, might be the best guard in the league. You have Lane Johnson. The Eagles and Shiel Kapadia on The Athletic wrote about this week, are one of the run-heaviest teams in the league in neutral situations. They have been all season. It's surprising because they're not great at it. And this is a franchise, you know, that has a lot of analytical background, and they should be good at throwing the ball with Carson Wentz. You do get DeSean Jackson back this week, but I think this is what Doug Peterson wants to be, is kind of a ground-and-pound team. We'll see if that keeps working.
This is the last time I get all in on the Eagles, because I've been pumping this team up since August, and then every time they have a big win – and my stupid power rankings, I get overexcited and I put them back in the top 10, and then they lay a total egg and I have to drop him back down to purgatory, and I get angry with him. And yet, I still believe that the Eagles are going to go on a run and not only be a playoff team, but really actually win.
Why do you believe that, do you think?
Because I just think it's all still there. And I do like, I like the Eagles so much that I will be locking them up in this game, even against a Bears team that is the classic cornered animal. I mean, this is a potential dirt nap situation, because the Bears, in addition to being in last place, are also in the NFC North. They're in 12th place in their conference. So to even think about getting back into the playoff race, they need to win now, as in Sunday. Then they need to win next week against the Lions, another wild card hopeful. And then they need to go to L.A. and beat the Rams, another wild card hopeful, the next week. And I don't see it happening.
No way. They're not doing all those things.
So, yeah. So the Eagles, to me, are a team that's feeling good about themselves now. I think they're going to score points. I think the Bears' defense hasn't been as good as it was last year, and we know what's going on with Mitch Trubisky and the Bears' offense. I think this is an offense that's more likely to crack and then completely collapse rather than pull together at this point. So that's why I'm banking on the Eagles. Do not let me down. Eagles fly, Eagles fly.
Roster is stronger. They got their number one and number two cornerbacks back in the last 2 weeks, and it showed in the Bills game. Their secondary is not nearly as leaky as it was a few weeks ago.
Where's Deshaun Jackson? Is he getting close?
Sounds like he's going to play.
Although I said that last week, and I couldn't have been more wrong. So
Alshon Jeffrey made a couple plays last week. You know, Carson Wentz under center. I am also locking them up.
Oh! How about that? So we got the Browns over the Kissing Cousins. And over on this side of the table, it doesn't have a name. Greg and I both have the Eagles.
All right with this?
Hey, guys, yeah. Wes,
yes.
Good call, because I'm right now in the YouTube, and I'm answering some of the comments, and we're getting a lot of people like, no, that does not pass the mirror test.
It's 4-4 versus 3-4.
You're two locks, Greg and Dan.
You're locking up against a broken quarterback.
You're locking up against a guy who shouldn't even be in the NFL.
I have no issues but with locking up team. The Eagles versus the Bears.
It's 4-4 versus 3-4.
I just go by the
as do I.
Vegas thing. And this it started as a 3-point
All right,
game.
Just letting you know what the fans
tell them
are
to
saying.
Shut up.
Okay. I never believed in the mirror.
Clam it, commenters.
Pipe down, or I'll come in there.
But it is, for me, it is less about picking for the Eagles than it really is picking against the Bears. It's not just Trubisky, but it's mostly Trubisky. It's that the defense is good, but it's not going to change the world defense. It's not going to get 6 turnovers every week. It's there, and it's okay. And I think the Eagles' offensive line could win the battle up front against the Bears' defense. So if you're just a good but not great defense, what are you really if you're the Bears? You're counting on Mitchell Trubisky too much.
Yeah, I feel like the Bears need a gigantic special teams play and typically a bunch of turnovers or a defensive touchdown to win games. Like, we saw that from Cordero Patterson against the Saints, where that was one of the only reasons they were even in that game. One thing I thought that they schemed pretty well last week against the Chargers was getting guys open downfield, easy throws for Trubisky to make, and there were some bigger games because of that.
He didn't play bad for 3 quarters.
He didn't play terribly, but the
coach doesn't trust him. And if you're going to keep playing him, you got to show some trust.
Right. I thought they crumbled in the red zone over and over,
right,
too.
That's the thing is, like, Bears fans were like, I don't think he played that bad. And he had 2 killer turnovers in the fourth quarter, and they had the ball inside the 10 for 12 plays.
That's how low the bar is.
Score. The bar is low.
Okay, let's move on, Greg. Snake it. Ricky, we're snaking.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Like that.
Fancy.
That's a snake. That's
I'm taking snake. 2 of the most dynamic and surprising passing games in the league, the Lions and the Raiders, at 4-0-5. They do it in different ways, but this is the number 5 and 6 most efficient passing games in the league, according to Football Outsiders. The Lions kind of look like an old 60s AFL team these days. They're just throwing up bombs to Marvin Hall and Marvin Jones, whereas the Raiders are like an early 80s West Coast team with tight ends and fullbacks and endless 7-yard throws. I can't say it's my favorite style, but you got a good running back, and it's been really working that they move the ball up and down the field. And I don't blame John Gruden if he's trying to keep his defense off the field, because this is a matchup of 2 pretty bad defenses, and the Raiders are worse.
The Raiders' defense is slow, and they don't get after the quarterback. Cleveland Ferrell has not sacked, hit, or pressured a quarterback since week 1.
Uh-oh.
Like, Max Crosby, their fourth-round pick, is playing more than him. Benson Mayoya. I never know how to say his name. He's better than Furl.
You got it.
He's playing a little less.
Second time.
It's a little under the radar. The defensive players never get picked on. It's like Quinnen Williams is not doing anything this year. He doesn't get picked on.
No, he's fine.
People don't get picked on.
No, he's been banged up. You got to give him a pass. And the Jets, that you,
sorry,
if
that's
there's
off
anything.
Topic.
Oh, I can always count on you to go off topic on a Jets burn. But
wow.
Let him get right. Let him get healthy with the new coaching staff, and we'll see what happens.
Save that for the Jets Dolphins banger.
I think Josh Jacobs is one of the most enjoyable backs to watch in the league right now. And the Darren Waller experience to me is a sign of good coaching because Gruden picked him out because of his physique across the way. That's how they unearthed him on another team. And he's been an awesome story. You look at their weapons. I thought Tyrell Williams showed up last week and played a good game for them, and they need that. They need some more wide receivers. Your boy Hunter Renfrow, nice touchdown though, Greg. I'm sure you guys covered that on Tuesday.
He's coming around.
I thought that was one of Derek Carr's best passing performances in years.
Absolutely. And I've been killing him, and he's starting to make those comments look utterly foolish.
Needs to hit on the deep balls though. I agree, but that game was kind of Derek Carr in a nutshell. He was 22, I think he was 20 of 22, 10 yards and in, 1 of 6, 20 and up. And so he hit one, but they still, and I think it's more about the receivers that he has than Carr.
He completes,
but they're not going deep.
Almost 3/4 of his passes. He's either on pace to break the Drew Brees record or be right there.
Well, they're easy passes.
Yeah, which I understand that. But still, their offense has been functionally, highly functional this year, and he's been a part of it.
The offensive line's the biggest reason why, but Rodney Hudson is their center, their leader, and he's out for a while.
So is their backup center.
And yeah, and they might be starting Richie Incognito at center. He's never played the position before. So that's been their number one strength as a team, and that, you know, might not be the same as it used to be this week.
All right, Mark, you're up.
Now, I know I will be laughed at for this pick, but if you know anything about me, you know why this game is one of the most potentially enjoyable games I've seen.
Go ahead,
no, it is not a Dolphins game.
Take your Redskins.
It is the Redskins at the Bills, because I'm telling you why. Not unlike the Niners Redskins games of a couple weeks ago.
Old got to watch 2 quarters, and then I could move my mind to something else. Sessler.
I think it may be over before some games get through 2 quarters. That's what I love about it. I want to see just how quickly this goes. I will say one thing about the Bills.
And you're
not going to get it this week, because they're going to deal with Dwayne Haskins, and probably it's in Buffalo, just beat up on Washington from wire to wire. 52 points given up in the last 2 weeks by the Bills. Their defense has not been, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Chicago. They have not been the defense we thought over the past couple weeks. And that team scares me if they don't get that kind of performance from their defense. Because Josh Allen, and I know that we were rough on him, he had a terrible fumble that turned that game around last week for Philadelphia. And I thought maybe it was the turning point of the game. Every game you can count on 2 killer turnovers by Josh Allen. And it's typically when he's running the ball and loses. If he's going to run the ball as much as he does, we need better security. Mm.
I don't even have faith that they're going to run away with this game, because they haven't done it before. I mean, they played the Bengals and they played the Dolphins.
Is this another episode of Greg Hates Josh Allen?
No, I'm saying
I need a graphic.
I'm basing it that they've struggled at home. They struggled to beat the Bengals. They struggled to beat the Dolphins. They got wiped out by the Eagles, who were struggling. They haven't had that home field advantage that you would expect. And yes, it is partly because of Allen.
Wait.
Jim Schwartz pointed out a play last week where his coverage completely busted. And he was making the point, yeah, we were better, but we made a couple mistakes. And I went back, I watched that play. Allen has a receiver wide open. No one's there, and he's got perfect protection on the play, too. And he's back there, but at one point he just starts running, and he misses it. Could have, you know, that's the type of play I think that you don't see necessarily, and it happens a lot with Allen.
This team needs to run the ball more. They need more Devin Singletary going on. You can probably get away with suspect decision-making and no touch, but probably not both, and Josh Allen has both right now.
There is a sense, especially how poorly the Bills played at home against the Eagles last week, an Eagles team that was struggling mightily at the time, that the Bills now are going to go into a tailspin, or they have been found out. And I don't know if that's true, and I still think their schedule is so soft across November for the most part that they're going to be in very good position to be a playoff team. But at the same time, Bills fans who get angry, who think that, you know, we or certain people should be viewing them as like a real AFC contender. You just need to see more from them.
I feel like we've been nice to the Bills.
Oh, yeah, we've liked them all year.
But they want to be seen as a team that could take out the Patriots, and they'll point to the Patriots game where they gave them a real contest for four quarters. But
point to the Dolphins game.
But how about this? They've trailed in 6 of the 7 games they played in this year, and to their credit, they still have 5 wins. This is a perfect game. Just destroy the Redskins. I mean, kill the Redskins, and it doesn't mean everyone's going to then say, oh, the Bills are fine, but it will pump some energy and confidence into that offense. You know, light them up. Josh Allen, have 4 total touchdowns. Give us that type of game, and then at least make you feel like this is an offense that's going to improve in the second
half.
Should
mention Adrian Peterson, which is about the only thing the Redskins seem to want to involve on offense, did not practice Thursday.
Well, we should also mention we don't know who's quarterbacking for the Redskins.
Well, Haskins has been taking first-team reps 2 days in a row, so I would be surprised if
Keenum is the starter if healthy, but he's still in the concussion protocol, so it sounds like it's Haskins' time. Which
Callahan said Thursday Keenum could still play if he feels better on Friday.
Bills need a little more out of Ed Oliver, another top 10 pick who has really not been making much of an impact for them.
That made a nice pick there, actually.
Ominous that Dwayne Haskins was allowed to throw the ball 5 times in the second half last week. Ominous.
Well, you know, the Washington Post came out with a story this week quoting several sources that he doesn't know the playbook.
Oh, my God. You know what they should do? The old Jamarcus Russell trick that the Raiders pulled.
The DVD.
Give him the DVD, make it blank, and then 3 days later it's like, hey, how was it? And Jamarcus Russell's like, oh, it was great. And every play, like, oh, okay, we know you're not doing any work at all.
I think Gil Brandt pulled that one in 1964.
Gil Brandt from the future with
like a DVD? That would be
amazing.
No, he did it with a book, playbook.
All right, let's move on. It is... Whose pick is it?
Yours.
It's my pick. All right. You would think this is me stepping in a bear trap, but no. Listen, I got 2 young sons. They're going to be hopped up on sugar all weekend because of Halloween. So I'll be up. I'll be up close to 6:30 a.m. I'll probably be up at 7. I'll DVR the game and catch up. So I'll take Texans against the Jaguars from Wembley Stadium in London. The final game of this year's London series. And we were, of course, at the final game at Spurs Stadium, the big tot.
Hot toddy.
Toddy house.
Toddy house. So they've done an incredible job over there with these games, and they close it out at Wembley. With a nice one. Here are the Texans who we talked about this, and I talked about this all week in various, like, NFL programming, that they pushed all the chips into the 2019 center of the table for 2019. Now J.J. Watt's gone. What does that mean? Are the Texans a team we should still see as a contender in the AFC? I don't know. But what I do know is they're in a dogfight just to win this division and get in the playoffs, because the Colts, whether you like them or not, are 5-2, and they are in first place. So the Texans need to keep pace. And now they get a Jaguars team, and this is kind of like a home game, because although there's a ton of fans from all different for all different teams in the UK that flock to these games, as we recall, you saw all sorts of jerseys at those games. The Jaguars have the biggest fan base in England, so there's going to be it's going to be a nice home game for the Jaguars, and the Jaguars team that played very well last week against the bad Jets team, but still Gardner Minshew the second playing with a lot of confidence. Mark, you'll be happy to know that I did put some thought. We had to do our NFL.com midseason picks about making him the offensive rookie of the year choice. I didn't go with it, but if he keeps playing like this, yeah, he's going to be hard
Who's
to deny.
Better
Who
than
did you
him?
Pick over him?
Kyler Murray. I went.
What?
Well, it's a prediction for the end of the season. I think so far, to me, he would be the runaway winner with Jacobs as kind of the distant second.
Kyler Murray's improvement over the last few
weeks. But Mitch has played far, far better.
Oh, people love the headband and the mustache, and not enough people are watching this guy actually play football. He was a third down conversion machine last week, and there are only 3 quarterbacks in the NFL with a better touchdown to interception ratio, and they're all either Super Bowl winners or former MVPs: Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers.
They are the worst team in the NFL in the red zone, so I don't know if
that's been their story.
Like, I don't think he bears total blame for that. I do think sometimes I put a little too much on touchdown to interception, but he's done everything else well. He does avoid mistakes. He does throw down the field well. He does make good decisions. This is one of the biggest Jaguars games they've had in London. I mean, the Jaguars are sneaky up there in terms of the losiness franchise, not to their fans. They have one winning season in the last 12. One! And they have a chance here, and this is the week. Because they have the bye, and Foles is eligible to come back after the bye. Minshew wins this week. There's no chance that they're going to bench him.
Yep. I think they've got to find a way to get to Deshaun Watson, who I went going back and watching that game. It's redundant at this point, but he does stuff every week that is just unbelievable to the eyes. And the Texans, I don't think that they're the kind of team that can go and beat New England. I just don't. But I think they can go and beat almost any team in the league because of their quarterback. And you're going to have to find a way to punish him early and often for the Jaguars not to get in a hole, because I don't think Jacksonville's the kind of team that can really, they're good when they have the lead and they can start to pound you with the run. And I don't love Leonard Fournette, but he's had a good season for them overall. They're not a team that if they get down by 17 points has a shot in this game.
Houston, we've talked about, is top heavy all season, and it doesn't get more top heavy than that defense losing Watt. He's been double teamed more, according to it was a CBS broadcast last week, than anyone in the league by a massive amount. Second place in that standings was Jadeveon Clowney, a guy they could use right about now because they just don't have a lot. And it was a defense that was struggling. I like the Jaguars in this game. If I have to pick one, I like the Jaguars.
I think it's a field goal game. I think it's going to be a very good game. And that's why I picked it, and I'm feeling great about it.
Nice work.
I thought that would be kind of like one of those primetime things, but you took it. I like it.
Wes, it's snakes to you, baby.
Well, I got a grass field game here, and this is going to be a rock fight. The Colts at the Steelers. I'm not sure.
Boring.
Colts got 15 points out of their offense last week, and the Steelers don't have a quarterback.
You seem like you have the Colts a lot for someone who doesn't like the Colts.
I think first time I had them all year.
Oh, I thought you had them last week.
I don't think I ever.
Colts Broncos.
Ricky reports that James Conner is not playing.
Really?
As of now that he.
Oh, he has not been ruled out, though.
He's not been officially ruled out, but he didn't show up again. But breaking news, Patriots are releasing wide receiver Josh Gordon off IR.
Thank you for that, but that is just a matter of bookkeeping. We were aware of that.
Right, but I'm just letting you know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well,
right.
If you were going to
breaking news, you know, here, I think you'd say Trent Williams just said he had cancer and he's had it for 6 years and the Redskins misdiagnosed.
Why are you like
saying, you're going to like put one in there. Put it.
Wow. Okay. Greg, do you want to?
Which is.
Well, let's talk about that.
Wait, what?
Wait, what? What's going on? Is he okay?
Trent Williams told reporters that he was diagnosed with cancer over the summer and that he'd had it for 6 years, and that's part of the reason why he's been so upset with the Redskins training staff. He's also making it clear that it doesn't look like he's going to play for the Redskins, even though he did pass a physical.
He said, quote, "I almost lost my life."
He had cancer in his body for 6 years before it was diagnosed?
Didn't we know that he had a tumor removed in the offseason?
Yes, but
we didn't know.
Years. Yeah, it was a growth on his head, which also connects with that the helmet was giving him discomfort. It wasn't totally out of it.
Feels like a good excuse not to play.
Yeah, I would say so. This is not a Jalen Ramsey situation.
Sorry to bring the show.
Ricky, thank you, though.
You know, it's fine. Just, you know, trying to help you guys when I can. I let you know that James Conner has
Conner thing was good.
It's going to be
practice. Coach Tomlin did say earlier in the week that he could practice Friday. That's kind of the key day for him. But it's trending towards him being out.
Well, they do have Jalen Samuels back.
That is huge. If they don't have Conner, I don't think, you know, they're a pretty mediocre team to begin with.
Benny Snell's out for 2 to 3 weeks.
This whole, like, the Steelers fan and beat writer confidence that this team's going to win 9 or 10 games is really on my radar. I don't understand it. They're a good, not great defense, similar to they have every year.
I think the defense is better than that. And they've improved throughout the year.
And the quarterback is a problem. That's the bigger
quarterback's
issue.
A huge problem.
Hey,
it's game manager.
Hey, if the Ravens lose against the New England Patriots, which is highly possible, and the Steelers win, they're one game out of first place in the AFC North. Now, well, I'm with
now,
you.
Please.
I'm with you. I don't think the Steelers are a real deal team, but I understand why there would be some excitement that the season's not over, and when you start 0-3, that's a great thing to feel like you have some hope.
Greg has suggested the Ravens will beat the Patriots in his picks column,
go. The Colts, the problem is they have played 7 games. All 7 have come down to one score. Almost every all 7 have come down to the last possession. So that's
good at that.
They are. They're 16th in passing, 14th in defense. They're between 14 and 16 in every possible stat. That's just kind of who they
are. All their wins have been 7 points or less. 3 of them have been by 3 points or less.
They're the only team in the league that has not had an offensive lineman miss a single snap. And that's the recipe for that. I mean, that's what they are. And we talked about the teams with the good offensive lines. Like, the Colts are going to hang around till the end because of it.
Two things happened last week that provide hope that they might get a little more exciting. Paris Campbell finally came back from his hamstring injury. Didn't do much, but they really need to start featuring him. And Nyheim Hines was used more in the passing game. He's one of the few running backs in the league who actually runs routes. They need to use him.
All right, Wes, it's snaking.
I'll take my Titans if you're going to just give them to me, you know?
I mean, we are going to just give
them to you. Yeah, they are all yours.
That's the best game left on the board here, Titans at Panthers. Mark and I talked about this a little bit. I have lost all trust in Kyle Allen. I think he's broken. And they need to play Cam Newton is what I think.
It sounds like he's legitimately just not ready, though, and that they think next week would be the first week that he's healthy. Because I'm with you. I really don't. I know there's been weird stuff around Cam Newton, and I still think there is. But I do believe that they just don't think he's ready to play. I think they would want him in this lineup for this game. They're favored pretty significantly.
They are.
I'm surprised, yeah.
Who do you think is the better team in this game?
I think the Panthers are.
I don't know. The one thing, watching that Niners game, they were eaten up by San Francisco.
That's a very the ball game for the Panthers. Like, just make it, forget about it. But yeah. I understand why you watch it and you're like, oh boy, these.
Well, the Niners have done that to every team, basically.
That's what I mean.
Did anybody like the Panthers' offense against the Bucs in London?
No, their offense is worse. It's mostly that I just like their players better, that they just have more players that can make a difference. As you know, the Titans are on a 2-game winning streak where they've, you know, Tannehill's look good, but he's played 2 of the worst defensive backfields in the league. They've won both of those games essentially because they stopped the other team on like a 4th and short. It comes down to one play. I mean, these are coin flip games, and this is kind of what the Titans are. This is the John Robinson experience. He's put this team together, and I think it kind of looks good on paper, but when you roll it out there, I mean, there's no reason to think this is anything but an 8 or 9 win team.
When we saw the Panthers in London, the Bucs shut down Christian McCaffrey for the most part. And when you do that, Kyle Allen made a couple plays in that game, but they really won that game with their defense and their ability to create turnovers. Last week, obviously, was a total wipeout. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see. I mean, even last week, somehow McCaffrey ended up with 150 yards of total offense.
He had a big touchdown or a big run. But
he's going to ruin my sandwich prop. I had Dalvin Cook, you know, beating everyone in yards from scrimmage right now. Cook is up by about 40 yards, but he's played one extra game. McCaffrey is just freight train.
He's got to carry him, Wes.
The two of them are way ahead of the entire league, though.
It's a good matchup because the Titans' young inside linebackers are really good. Jayon Brown is one of the best players in the league that nobody knows about, and Rashawn Evans is playing pretty well, too.
Tannehill, this is a week where I think we'll see if he's always a beat late on throws. You talked on Tuesday's show about quarterbacks that need to see it or ones that – he is definitely someone that needs to see it, and you saw it last week where he's just a beat late a few times, and the Panthers playing the zone that they do, maybe they make him pay.
All right. I will take the Gase Bowl, the Toilet Bowl, the Jets at the Dolphins. Is this game being televised? Are we certain?
I
don't know if I can watch it if it's not going to be – does CBS send a crew there? Or
I believe that's in the works, but it's a fair.
I'm just annoyed because I'm getting a third game here because Dan took the London game and messed the whole thing up.
I want to see which announcer's
got. That was supposed to be, you know, we're all going to watch that. We're all going to watch that. That's cheating.
It's certainly not cheating. I thought that should be an open season since some people might want to sleep in.
You just got me all excited about the this whole, is the I only old, have two games. Now I have two at late. It ruined the whole strategy.
Spiro Dittus and Adam Archuleta drew this one.
Oof. I've been talking to some sparrows about the Jets because people take pity on me. So people that have connections to the organization are telling me things, which is good. It's fun. But I'm hearing some very bad things behind the scenes. We know what's going on with the Jets above ground, but underground it doesn't sound a lot better right now. I think this is a team that's really in a bit of a tailspin. And if they do not win in Miami, and maybe this is a good thing for the team long term, because not only does it put them in the running for the number one pick overall, but also the firestorm will build about Adam Gase being a one-and-done guy in New York if they lose to the Dolphins. So if you're a Jet fan that's and you hate being this type of Jet fan because it seems to happen too often where you're basically looking ahead to next year and okay with them being just absolutely dreadful, I hope that's not the case. I'm still rooting for the Jets because I do think at the end of the day, Sam Darnold is a guy that I want to see progress from this year. And if you do go down that road of, oh, I hope they go 1-15, well, that means that Darnold probably struggles for the rest of the season or gets hurt or something terrible. So I want to see Darnold put this little turnover binge behind him because as good as he was on that first drive against the Jaguars, they did nothing as an offense.
He had no chance.
And he was getting absolutely snowed under by the offense. So I like how other teams are being able to fix things as the season go along. It seems like the Jets' offensive line is somehow getting worse.
That was a jailbreak situation for three quarters.
So, yes. It's on New York City. It's on New York City. Don't get this kid hurt. I swear to God, I will bail on this team. I will get out, and I will take my two sons and all the money that they'll pump into your organization with me if you get this kid hurt because you can't get the offensive line figured out.
This is new ground for you. You've never threatened to bail on the Jets.
I've never been this disillusioned as I am in the Adam Gase era, and I just need them to not get Darnold hurt or mess him up emotionally or physically. Get through the season and see some growth. I'm obviously not going to get an exciting December and January or even a November, but let me see Darnold have a chance out there because he certainly didn't the last couple of weeks.
I wonder if this has ever happened in the history of the NFL, but let's say they lost to the Dolphins and Gase is out sooner than we think, and Greg Williams is made interim head coach for two different teams over the course of two seasons. That did fix Cleveland's offensive line last year somehow. Down the stretch with the same cast of characters. Not saying that that's going to happen to the Jets, but
I think it's more likely from what's been heard. We don't need to hear this again.
I'm not preparing a speech similar to
Joe Vitt was an interim coach.
It might be more
not
likely
back-to-back years.
It might be more likely that Greg Williams gets fired in season. I'll leave it at that.
I think a lot of times his head coaches don't seem to love whatever he's doing either behind the scenes or talking to media.
Good job, Greg.
No,
piece that together.
Who
all right,
knows.
We don't need to talk about
they're
this
gonna
game anymore.
They're going to beat the Dolphins, though.
Come, I don't know.
Dolphins have no pass rush.
I don't know.
Xavier Howard this week.
He's out for the year, I believe. Right, he's on IR. But this game doesn't need any more analysis. But I will say that the Dolphins have steadily improved, and they even had a 14-0 lead, of course, last week before that awful play call by Brian Flores at the end of the second quarter. This is a field goal or touchdown game. There's no blowout happening here.
This team stinks.
Shout out to Ryan Fitzpatrick for playing with joy in what should be a terrible situation. He really is the right man for this job because I think they'd be the worst team in NFL history.
Oh, he's going to
They're going
to
beat
Jets.
Someone. They're going to beat someone one of these weeks.
You know, Minshew was killing the Jets on third down. Everyone's killing this Jet defense on third down this year. And watch Fitzmagic do the same thing. All right, up next, Mark Sessler.
Well, I don't like this at all because now I'm stuck with this 4 p.m. game right across from the Browns-Broncos.
Oh, my analysis wrong? Sorry.
Ouchers.
Bucks at Seattle. I will say this, that we filed our revised Super Bowl picks this year, and I know everyone just picked the Patriots
like
and the
that.
Packers. I know. Why are we allowed to do that at the midway point? But I picked Seattle just to win the whole thing because there's something about this team. I enjoy watching them week to week. They are not the best team in the NFL. They have some issues. And for me, this is a game where the Seahawks are a team that
what
I believe...
was with that dramatic pause?
I don't know.
Like,
because what I'm looking at on paper is that as much as I enjoy watching Seattle on both sides of the ball, I do not enjoy watching Jameis Winston and the Bucks on offense outside of Mike Evans. And I think if you're Seattle, you have no excuses losing this thing. No excuses. What do the Bucks do better than the Seahawks right now?
This feels the run.
Rush the passer.
35-17. I like the feel of this one.
They're not too different to me. The difference is one has an MVP candidate in Russ Wilson. The other is Jameis Winston.
Well, that's a big difference.
Right. It's everything.
That's perhaps the
I'm
biggest
saying
difference.
The rest of the Seahawks aren't very good. I mean, Lockett and Carson are good, but they don't really do much well as a team other than throw.
Carson's getting you 100 with 20 carries every week these days.
You mentioned it on Sunday's show, Greg, so I'm not breaking news here, but I didn't love the look of that second half. I know they were up 24-0 over the Falcons, and you mentioned also that there was a goal line turnover.
Also, that was garbage time, Greg.
A lot of times. Well, I just don't like, go kill a team. Go put them to bed instead of just letting them hang around. And maybe that's what's going to happen in this game too, but I do like the idea of Seattle at home against a team that's, you know, so up and down like the Bucks. This feels like a fairly lopsided game.
These two teams have – I don't think so. I actually think these two teams are pretty similar. I think the Bucks, if you were a Bucks homer, which maybe I still got that in me a little bit, had some things go well for them last week, whether they can feel good. It's two straight teams. I think they've held under 300 yards. Levante David's playing really well for them. Jameis Winston had – it's funny that one of his best game, probably his best game of the year, came on a game where he turned the ball over, whatever, three times. But he threw the ball really well. And these two teams have the same amount of two-score wins on the season. One. I mean, the Seahawks don't beat anyone easily. The difference is the Seahawks win close games and the Bucks lose them.
I think the Bucks front seven is way better than
right,
the Seahawks.
Right, and Pierre-Paul, that's sort of what
Pierre
I forgot
Paul's
about.
Back.
He adds to the –
Vita Vea is having a Pro Bowl year.
I can't trust the quarterback to not
right.
completely sink the ship week after week. I mean, you say they're very similar, but that's a defining trait of Tampa Bay right now.
Right. I just don't see – they are huge favorites in this game. And
coaching –
if you're still making it rain, it's like you like the Bucks to keep it close.
I'd take Pete Carroll over Bruce Arians, please.
What, was that
was
a rainmaker?
That a Dr. Rainmaker?
I said if we were.
I thought he was forced into retirement for malpractice. And by the way, I don't know, because not many people this is a prior Thursday night. It wasn't the train wreck we had to deal with last week. This is 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
Mark officially took your place on Seahawks Corner. He moved right into your old room.
And I remember you left a voicemail.
I did. I wanted to talk to you about it, but you didn't pick up.
Screening his calls.
It's very clear that you obviously have regrets about leaving the corner. So now you're trying to convince yourself that Seattle is only a little bit better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and all these things. It's because there's some regret here. That's what I sense this.
I contain multitudes. I can enjoy many teams even
humble
if I'm not on the corner.
Multitudes, humble brag.
The man claims he has multitudes.
You're not going to stop me from enjoying the things I enjoy about the Seahawks, but I'm not convinced they're going to be.
Greg, I've told you on NFL.com that Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
That's true.
All right.
Might be an opportune time to jump back on the bandwagon.
So that is the draft. And Greg, if you want to kind of tag team Texans Jaguars together,
why don't you tag team Bucks
Seattle, because I have no interest in watching
what was happening and wasted our listeners' time 20 minutes ago. So let's talk about some primetime.
All right, primetime football. In fact, it's time for a little road to victory talk. Time for Road to Victory, presented by the United States Marine Corps. Yes, this is the game of the week. It is the New England Patriots, 8-0, at the Baltimore Ravens, who are 5-2. So the game's in Baltimore. How many times, Mark, have we had an otherwise great primetime matchup, but they just stick it up in Foxborough and take all the edge out of it?
Over and over, that's happened.
In this case, I don't think New England's ever played a game away from New England at night. So I think this is the first time this has ever happened. So now we have the Ravens, who are feeling real good about themselves, obviously. And the Patriots, and this stat jumped out to me, that the Patriots lead the NFL in scoring. This is their highest scoring average than any of the other six Super Bowl winners in the Belichick era. And the points allowed, the fewest points they've allowed, that beats any other of the six Super Bowl winners. So this is statistically the best Patriots team ever from that one metric.
Can I put a huge asterisk on that?
Go ahead,
one on offense? Their offense ranks 25th in the league in yards per play and 28th in big plays.
Yes.
Well, they're getting points from defense, too.
They're getting points from defense and special teams.
And short fields and things like that.
And tons of possessions.
But that's, you score points.
Right.
But there was a stat showing that their opponent could have scored, they could have scored no points on offense and still won a couple of their games with how many points were amassed on defense and special teams.
I think it's like both things can be true. Their schedule can have been the one of, if not the primary reason for these outrageous stats, especially the one that they've out, their defense has scored more, they've given up. That's, that wouldn't happen without the schedule. And they can be the best or the second best defense in the league. I don't think it's going to be at an historic level. And I do think Lamar Jackson presents a unique challenge because they play a lot of man coverage more than any team in the league. It's what they do well. And Lamar Jackson eats up man coverage because when you play man coverage, you have your back to the quarterback and the guy's scrambling all over and they're slow. If they have any weakness, it's that they don't have great team speed. That's very often the Patriots' defensive weakness. And Lamar, I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think the Ravens' defense will get off or anything, but I do think he presents a pretty unique challenge for them.
You picked, as we said at the top of the show, you picked the Ravens to hand the Pats their first loss.
Yeah.
How does it happen?
I think it's a defensive game. I think it's two groups where the Patriots offense, I think, will have their stuff together by the end of the year. Isaiah Wynn returns, Shaq Mason, you get Sanu. They figure out their problems. The running game gets a little bit. The running game is so bad. It's the worst running game they've had in, again, since 2001.
Since Antoine Smith was
right, since 2001 probably, and he got it going at the end. And the Ravens defense similarly started poorly, but I think they're really coming together. And so I think the Ravens defense is a little ahead of where the Patriots offense is, and it's a low-scoring game that the Ravens find a way to win. A much better special teams in Baltimore, too, ranked number one by Football Outsiders, and it's the worst Patriots special teams in 15 years.
And if the Browns can run on your defense, then surely the Ravens can run on your defense.
I mean, don't get carried away. I think it should be a good game, but I don't see them as a 16-0 team. So where are these losses going to come from? A tough opponent on the road.
I was surprised with how well Cleveland ran on New England last week, because that's not been the case with them at all. I think this is a Belichick fever dream, the chance and the challenge of going up against Lamar Jackson. I'm sure he's putting in the extra homework. I just trust if man coverage is going to get them fried, then they're going to shift out of that and do different things.
He's spy-proof because there's no linebacker out there fast enough where it even matters. Mm. Look what he did to Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, he made Bobby Wagner look insane on some of those plays where he was, three steps behind. They don't have the guy maybe to do that.
They also get Hollywood Brown back, which is huge.
Right.
They really missed him. And they get Jimmy Smith back. So now I don't know how big of a role he's going to play, but he's not even one of your top two cornerbacks anymore. I just think these are two of the best teams. And this stuff.
All I can picture is Chris Collinsworth crowing about how incredible the game plan was by the Patriots.
Yep.
How they've confused Lamar Jackson and they've taken away what he does best. Because there's one thing every Bill Belichick team can do is they find who your best player is and they neutralize him. Can we get tight on this? Is my analysis of the game. Can you see that? Can you see that? Camera three, maybe? Can you get in on that?
That's the score of their final record.
Our audio listening.
That's both.
I was going to say, that feels like New England's end of the regular season record.
I got 16-0, and I think this will just be another merry skip through the forest of glory.
I don't think this offense is good enough to go 16-0.
I don't either with the next 5 weeks. And I don't
they'll find a way.
I don't think they want to. I mean, of course they would want to, but I think of course they would want to. But I think as a Patriots fan, a loss is good. The weight of trying to get there.
That's not true. You know, it's not
was
true.
Terrible.
I think
it's
you're
the
one an outlier thing. As a fan, though. Patriots fan, not wanting them to go 16-0.
No, just think that it might be better off for them. That's what the two. Maybe they were. Wrong.
I mean, that is
and it's
that
hindsight,
is.
But they all. Say that
talk about first world issues. I mean, like that, it's better if the team goes 15-1.
He's saying he can imagine the scenario of Collinsworth. I can more imagine the scenario of Belichick going, have these bye week, articles from all the Patriots beat writers just about how Belichick is putting them back in pads and saying how miserable they are because they just had their loss and this is their perfect. Like, it's going to be Belichick's dream to have a loss before a bye week in the middle of the season.
This is great. We've been doing this. We've been watching these Patriots for 20 years and all the narratives just keep coming up over and over and over again.
There's only one
thing
left
to
do.
Crazy.
There's only one thing left for this team to do. This era, this Belichick Brady era, is to go 19-0.
Yep.
So I think it's incredibly important to this team, and they don't want a little loss to, like, take off the pressure or whatever you're saying.
Well, who's
– They want it. They want that.
Who's they
see it.
In theory, I guess that would be Belichick.
Every man on that roster, and especially the big man with the hoodie.
I do think he has to be enjoying –
And the QB.
The turn back the clock element to this season. Not only that the defense is the dominant one, but they're very similar, like a veteran linebacker group. You got the star player at cornerback in Gilmore. And I don't know. You've got a team that just figures out like ways to win. He loves that.
They're not losing this game.
All right, let's pick the game. Mark.
Patriots 29, Ravens 14.
Wes.
Ravens 23, Patriots 17.
Patriots 16, Ravens 0.
Oh, that's the score of the game.
It's both.
It's and.
It's an and scenario.
I had the Ravens winning by a field goal 2017.
All right. That was The Road to Victory presented by the United States Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Monday Night Football, an old NFC East clash, the Cowboys and Giants. It's been a while since we had Cowboys and Giants in primetime. Here it is again, and the Cowboys coming off the bye week. The last time we saw them, also in primetime, Sunday night, they absolutely hammered the Eagles, and now they go to the Meadowlands to face the Giants. Mark Sessler, you tracked our last Giants contest, and Daniel Jones lit it up statistically. So I guess the hope here for the G-Men is two things, that Jones continues to trend in the right direction, and now with another week off, that Saquon Barkley is all the way back from that ankle sprain.
Yeah, I mean, Jones also made a few killer errors in that game, which he's done week after week. But, you know, it's funny. There's polls popped up on Twitter this week about which team would you rather, or which quarterback would you rather have, Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones? And I can't believe anyone would pick Daniel Jones at this point, just based on what I believe Sam Darnold.
That's one of my least favorite, like, Twitter sports things.
It's predictable.
Whoever is, like, when you're at the absolute lowest point, the guy that would usually win the poll, you just throw the poll out there and then.
Well, I mean, this is a fair question.
All right.
Look what I mean. Sam Darnold's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
That's what I'm saying. I don't like the timing.
No, it's more just on the so-called potential of Sam Darnold.
Well, it is
not the actual play.
I think, yeah, Darnold, in theory, has more potential. But if you flip his rookie season with the second season, same thing with Mayfield. People would be going crazy about their starts to their career. But they've shown so much as rookies that you're not as worried. I think Daniel Jones has shown a lot. I am not. If I was a Giants fan, I would not be worried at all about him. I like what I've seen out of him.
How about your boy Darius Slayton, Greg? Beat Rashawn Melvin twice for touchdowns last week.
They have playmakers, and they're getting Sterling Shepard back. This is not an easy matchup for the Cowboys. And yet, the Cowboys came – I mean, that Eagles game, we kind of didn't spend too much time on it, but that's one of the best games any team's had all year because you had your star players like Lawrence and – Van Der Esch really show up. I thought Zeke had his best game of the year, and then you all of a sudden get healthy in the bye where the tackles are back and Cobb and Cooper are back. It's like, well, this team should be ready to go roll.
Look what this team has. Check all the boxes. Franchise quarterback, all-pro running back, top five offensive line, legit number one receiver, promising number two receiver, reliable slot guy. You got a gadget guy in Tavon Austin, change of pace back in Pollard. Go over to the defense. They got bookend edge rushers with Lawrence and Robert Quinn. Deep interior linebacker crew, veteran secondary, and then you throw in a kicker with a 60-yard leg. This team's got everything.
And, you know, coaching, okay, maybe the head coach you're not excited about.
B-.
And they did have a three-game losing streak. However, I'm sure you'll point to the injuries that they were beat up, and that explains most of that slump.
Well, injuries, and they play close games. This team isn't getting blown out.
Well, they weren't playing up to their caliber on defense.
No, that's true. But this team is still number four in DVOA, total DVOA. They're one of the top five teams in the NFL.
Michael Bennett could be a huge addition. We didn't hit that trade really just because it was a strange timing. He can still play. I mean, he did last year, and he didn't fit with what Belichick wanted to do because they suddenly changed to a 3-4. That's another thing where they're turning back the clock. They wanted him to occupy blockers. He wasn't having that. The few snaps he played, he had some quarterback hits. He had a sack. Like, he played great last year. I think he could be a pretty big addition.
He fits on the Cowboys. That Jets loss for Dallas, to me, was all about injuries.
Right.
I mean, they were as banged up as any team in the NFC for a couple weeks there. And then you get you have no offensive line. You get that back. And I just think Dallas still leads the league in weekly yardage. I know yardage just gets, we don't care about yards, and it's relatively meaningless, but it's 439 yards a week.
They are
a productive offense, and Kellen Moore's name vanished off the buzzy radar because of that losing streak, but healthy again, they look phenomenal against Philadelphia.
It's not just total yards. They're number one in offensive DVOA.
Give us a good game, Danny Dimes. Give us some pop, some fun on Monday Night Football. You don't have to win, but let's keep this interesting. Please.
Robert Quinn and DeMarcus Lawrence have been among the most double-teamed players in the league. So if Bennett, you know, keeps his head on straight and gets a lot of snaps, maybe he can...
I like these double-team stats you're bringing to the table.
Got some numbers for you. Got some figures. Got some data.
Thanks to Jeff Greenholtz and his team.
He does a great job. Jeff Greenholtz and the NFL research team. Not only do they...
the unexpected late show shout-out.
Not only does the Greenholtz gang do great work and week after week, they do it with some fun. There's a little bit of mirth in their research analysis, which syncs up nicely with our program.
I think they hired some funny men along the way because that wasn't the case, you know, a couple of seasons back.
I mean, most importantly, Jeff Greenholtz has listened to our podcast from the beginning.
Right.
And that's so, why we're buttering
that's
him
up. How you get that's the show.
Also, NFL media is arguably most eligible bachelor. I just
wasn't
that
aware
out there
of that.
Too.
Wasn't aware of that.
Handsome man.
Guy tall
likes,
man.
Likes to go skiing. Athletic type.
All right. Where are we going?
I don't know. We'll be back tonight. Wrestling Jam. Lakeisha and Chris will handle Thursday night football recap, Niners, Cardinals, and then we'll all be back on Sunday night, God willing, to recap all the games we just previewed. So
there might be as much analysis as of us handing out candy as there is of the game.
Ooh, I like that. Well, that's something to look forward to. All right, Ricky, let's get out of here. Stan Hans is signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, Ricky Hollywood. Is Greenholtz available? I don't know. I'm going to check in with him. Maybe he's off the market.
You've announced it already.
Till Sunday night.